time now for Conversations with the Mayors, presented by the Chamber. 1,000 members, four promises, and one purpose for Greater Chapel Hill Carrboro. Get more on them at carolinachamber.org. Talking Carrboro today, and we are joined in the studio by Mayor Lydia Lavelle. Mayor, how are you?
Good, Aaron. How are you?
I'm doing good. So we were talking before we started. I know every week is a busy week, but a lot of very important meetings this week, kind of unrelated to, we'll get to the Board of Aldermen, but not even Board of Aldermen, or I just said Board of Aldermen. Absolutely no Board of Aldermen meeting this week. I don't know why
never
I'm saying
again.
It. Never again, yeah, but a lot of other ones too.
Well, there were a lot of meetings, but first I have to mention that the way that the week started out was with an awesome national championship, college national championship. I just have to give a little shout out to quarterback Joe Burrow. He's from my hometown of Athens, Ohio.
Awesome.
And so the entire hometown has just been decked out in purple and gold for weeks and weeks. So proud of him. You know, he grew up there. His speech during the Heisman Trophy ended up in $500,000 going to the Athens County Food Bank.
Awesome.
And just a really cool story of a kid from just a regular small town, you know, really kind of achieving college football's, you know, highest honor.
That's cool. What do they think at the university in Athens about the fact that everyone's decked out in someone else's colors?
You know, people are forgiving about it. I think what is much harder is are the diehard Ohio State fans in my hometown.
Oh, yeah, of
because
course.
They really actually had a real concern, I guess, that it would be LSU against Ohio State in the championship game. And
right,
then I think
right.
they really would have been torn because, again, you know, he's almost everyone in town knows him and or knows his family or has taught him or whatever and just rooting for him. So that didn't come to be. But
they
anyway,
would not have been torn at all. They would have rooted for him to pass for 500 yards and Ohio State to win 60-40.
That is probably how they would have rooted. You're right. But anyway, so that was a good way to start out the week. And this week, everything started back for me. The semester at North Carolina Central started, and then, of course, our council meetings began. We'll talk about those in a minute. Mm-hmm. But also had our monthly Visitors Bureau Board of Directors meeting, our monthly MPO meeting, which I couldn't be at because for this month they were on the same morning as the MPO. And then I had a Chamber Board of Directors meeting yesterday, actually started out on Monday with a Democratic County Executive Committee meeting. So just a real, real busy, you know, from 0 to 100.
Anything out of those meetings that people ought to know?
Well, just that, you know, we're kind of getting back at it. The MPO meeting and the Visitors Bureau meeting are just our regular monthly meetings, giving us updates on our projects, giving us updates on I love the Visitors Bureau Board of Directors meetings. We always get the statistics on our how our advertising and marketing is doing. We see some clips of what they're moving forward with, get an update from them. And we have new members coming on and off, so that's another thing going on with all of those. But yeah, so we had our first town council meeting of the year on Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm. And at that meeting, among other things, you talked about the 203 project. And I know we talked a couple of weeks ago. This is one of your big goals to make progress on this for 2020, right?
It certainly is. And anyone who wants an update on 203, we talked about an awful lot at the meeting about 203. And in fact, we talked about it almost as much as we ever have yet to date in terms of like every detail, you know, the parking situation and how we're trying to address that, how we're going to try to do the reboot. So within the next 4 to 6 weeks, we have a couple of big decisions we have to make, and we're looking forward to hearing from the public about that. We'll have an opportunity for them to come speak to us about that, but also feel free to email or contact any of us. One is, you know, we're trying to decide what the height of the building will be. You know, right now we're planning on 3 floors. Some board members have said, well, what about 4 floors? So we're looking at the cost of that, maybe cost prohibitive, but also, you know, what might happen with that. We'd probably shell it out, maybe have it for future space for incubators, artist studios, whatever. The second is we currently have a placeholder literally for a small black box theater, mm-hmm. and just, you know, kind of trying to assess whether we need another one in town. Of course, the Arts Center is going to have one in their new facility, and there are a few others in town, but that is such flexible space, and it gives, you know, such opportunity for other groups to rent it, use it, and as well as we could have meetings and groups and everything there. So those are two decisions we got to make in the next 4 to 6 weeks. because then we want to have our Perkins and Will, our architect, go back to the drawing board with schematic designs, and along the way we will have several public input, times for public input, most likely like 30%, 60%, 90% of the schematic drawings, so that we can get those put together and start, hopefully, turn over some dirt next summer.
Do you know roughly what the difference is in cost between a three-story and a four-story building?
The manager was going to check that all out for us, and he also was going to get, firmer figures for us on where we currently stand. But again, it might be that to have the fourth story, maybe we don't have the black box, kind of just looking at, what are our trade-offs in terms of what the community wants and what we may want. So, but this is really the time that we're all back on the table with it and hearing from the businesses about, their concerns, their support for the project, but their concerns about, where the parking is going to go. We gave a little update on a lot of the work that Annette Stone, our economic development director, and I have been doing with talking to area businesses that have parking lots that we might be leasing over the next year, starting in July. So we've been meeting with several owners of parking spaces in town in an attempt to address that, as well as to address our enforcement, which we have never done.
So right now, as it stands, who are the partners that are currently on board to be in that building?
Yeah. So it's mainly us in the county. Mm-hmm. I think right now, the way it shakes out, the county might have actually 55% of the space.
Because that includes the library too, right?
Yeah,
is the county?
Yeah, they're the library. So they have the majority of the space. They are looking to put their skills development center there that is currently in a building beside the Visitors Bureau. They're also looking to, of course, put the library there. And then we would have some recreation and parks space, some offices, but also some programming space. We would have WCOM, and we'd have a teen center, and we also would have what we call a virtual justice center. It's a partnership that we're doing with another group. So that's currently what's planned for that space.
Okay. Speaking with Carver Romero, Lydia Lavelle, and before I ask that question, you mentioned, and this is also something that we've talked about before, but bears reiterating as we start getting into the summer, possible stepped-up parking enforcement with the lack of parking spaces, right?
Well, part of how the council members directed staff in terms of trying to address what we know will be a parking shortage when we start construction was, at the very least, we have to start enforcing in our current lots, and as well as looking for other lots that we can then lease and also enforce. So I imagine part of what the manager will propose to us for the upcoming budget is some kind of a way to provide that enforcement. Because as you know, right now, cars are supposed to stay there for 2 hours, 3 hours, something like that. They stay all day. A lot of people use our lots to just park and go to the library, or I'm sorry, go to the university or whatever. So, and we, and also we know that there are a lot of businesses that their workers park in those parking lots. We're looking for solutions to try to kind of address a lot of that.
Yep.
We have a lot of spaces right downtown, for example, where our own staff and our police officers, for example, park. We're finding ways to try to move those folks out of those really prime parking spaces downtown.
I myself have used that deck to park and then go to campus. I always come back within the 3 hours, but still.
All right, Aaron. Start tracking you.
That's a big development we're going to be making progress on in 2020. Also, back on the table next week is the green track, not necessarily for Carborough, but for county commissioners are putting the green track back on the agenda for their meeting next week. So this is something that's going to be discussed a lot more. And this is another situation where county and Carborough and Chapel Hill all have to reach an agreement, and didn't quite do that last year. So where do things stand now?
Yeah, well, we also, just breaking news, the agenda's out for Tuesday. Yeah, but we also have it on
our
agenda.
You've got it on yours too, yeah.
And both councils and the commissioners, we all talked about trying to have it on our public agendas and talking about it with our respective council members before we all get together at the AOG meeting at the end of the month. And so, yes, we do have, on Tuesday night, we'll have an update on the green track. We're calling it a path forward resolution. Our attorneys have got their heads together and said we all need to adopt this same resolution in order to kind of move forward. So that's one action item that we will have on Tuesday night. The other one is for us to give authorization to our town manager to sign an interlocal agreement that is would obligate us to cost share in the Green Tract environmental assessment. So we'll be considering that, and that would be the very first step of moving forward with all of this. And I think that it's the general thinking that we certainly need to have some kind of agreement between all of us as to how this entire process proceeds. But even as we do that, we know that environmental assessment is a real key to even seeing where we can build on that tract of land. And so we all are, I think, kind of agreeing, let's get that rolling while we also work on the agreement between all the jurisdictions.
And the AOG meeting is the 24th, is that right?
It's the last Tuesday.
Last Tuesday. Okay. I'm completely wrong about the 24th. 28th.
Yeah, I think it's the 28th. You're right. So we don't have a meeting that night. We have the AOG meeting.
Yeah. What's on the agenda for next week's meeting?
Yeah. So for on our agenda for this upcoming week, we have first, we have an update about the 2020 census, which this is really good because we have, you know, there's this complete count committee that has been meeting. Barbara Fushi is our representative to that group. But I think I've told you, I'm hearing about this a lot through these other organizations I belong to, but we need to hear about it as a council and have our community hear about it and how important it is. So that's one of the first, one of the first items. We also have our audit report for the previous fiscal year. We have the update on the Green Tract. We also then have a public hearing on some proposed amendments to the stormwater rate structure. I don't know the details of that yet, but I was aware that that was going to be coming to us in terms of our stormwater. And then we have our first kind of public hearing for community input on the town budget. And so we always hear from a couple of folks kind of early on, but this is certainly an opportunity for folks to, as the manager meets with each of us individually and as he works to develop his draft budget, to come and make your thoughts known about, you know, how what we should prioritize in our budget. And it's right before an update we're getting on our energy and climate protection plan and our community climate action plan. And, for example, this past Tuesday, we heard from probably four or five citizens that are really wanting us to consider climate change in every single action that we do and in every single budget item that we have. And I know that that is something that we asked the manager to look at. You know, what would an emergency budget proposal look like around climate change? I imagine it's going to be pie-in-the-sky cost prohibitive, but to the degree that we can see how decisions we make might be even more informed by through a climate change lens, we asked for him to kind of come back to us and talk to us about that. We're going to get that report back from him also on Tuesday night.
Is that just more of a formalization of things that the board kind of already considers? Because I imagine as you're making decisions, you're thinking about climate at least in the background, if not in the foreground.
We always are. I think that at its extreme level, this kind of view of the budget might say we don't do anything unless it addresses climate change.
Okay.
And so that would be perhaps more extreme than the council would want to go, but it does represent what's the outer limit of what we could do. Mm-hmm. You know, now you're right. I do almost everything we do through that kind of a lens, but there are some things we do that you could argue, you know, aren't helping climate change, right? So I think it represents more of exactly as it's worded, more of an emergency lens.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll hear more about that, I guess, on Tuesday.
Speaking with Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle, townofcarborough.org for more information on town government, including the Carborough Town Council, which I'm going to have to get used to saying this year. I've got to wrap up here in a few minutes, but it's Martin Luther King Jr. weekend. I know the town's got some changes to schedules, but also some cool events coming up, right?
Yeah, we have. I mean, this event that we're going to have tomorrow from 1 to 3 at the Carborough Century Center, the youth-led event,
mm-hmm.
Building off of last year's, which I did not attend, but I heard about. It's going to be really awesome, I think. It's going to be a mix of a lot of some youth performances, youth kind of MCs, youth opportunities for artwork and so forth, a little break in the middle of it to eat some food. And then also the youth asked to have a few speakers come, like, in other words, a few adults come and speak.
Right.
And so I know, for example, Ronnie Dossie is going to be there to chat. I believe Floyd McKissick maybe is going to be there. And I know Verla Insko. So a couple of, you know, adults interspersed with this other, this celebration, musically, arts, and otherwise, from 1 to 3. Folks, come on out.
Awesome.
That sounds really good at the Century Center. And then still priming for our Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., you know, ribbon cutting on Monday at 3 o'clock. And that's when we kind of officially will open up the park that the groundbreaking happened last year this weekend. So
awesome.
This year we open it up.
Townofcarborough.org for more information on town government. Mayor Lydia Lavelle, as always, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron.